also to undertake various interventions to address the challenges that the city is confronted with. Therefore, this annual report reflects on the work of the department on its oversight program implementation during the 2018-19 financial year. So they are responsibilities that are our direct mandate as a department in respect to the budget that has been allocated to the department. They are responsibilities that are for institutions as well as entities. And in respect to that, we simply transfer funds and play oversight over these institutions as well as entities. We are not direct operatives in their day-to-day function. Your universities, TVET colleges, communication training colleges, sector education and training authority that will play oversight of. I wanted to explain that a bit. Now, our oversight focuses mainly on the utilization of funds at an institutional level, identifying challenges and areas that need improvement or intervention, teaching and learning support, institutional governance, infrastructure development and maintenance, amongst other things. Various oversight reports have been produced as planned, because as we monitor and support institutions, we develop reports that we present to the executive authority as well as to the department for archiving as well as follow up. So on the financial health of our institutions, universities are required to submit annual reports by July each year in terms of the reporting regulations published under the Higher Education Act. As we integrate the report, the critical aspect of the analysis is always the financial health of the system against that indicator. So the purpose is to identify institutions requiring support or intervention where necessary. So the annual financial health report provides insight into the finances as well as sustainability of institutions and the sector as a whole. So we also look on the infrastructure development and maintenance in the future. So with regard to universities, a grant on infrastructure and efficiency was introduced in 2007/8 financial year and is still carrying on now. From that period to date, what government has come into the system has over 28 billion from 2007 to date, and it is distributed per institution or per university. Now, allocation is in 3-year funding cycles to support infrastructure development plans. Utilization of funds, therefore, is monitored and progress with respect to infrastructure development of the system is assessed and reported annually. And with respect to TVET College, we just received new infrastructure grants for this financial year. So the rollout plan for the construction of new college campuses is being implemented in various programs. So the maintenance of infrastructure at colleges is managed in terms of posted maintenance plan. So what is happening here? TVET College is the first time that they receive an infrastructure grant. They are not receiving it in their own. Then upon receiving this, we're to prepare the system and capacity right at college level, and also build capacity at a national level to support and to intervene in college so that they can be able to spend the money appropriately. So the colleges were requested then to develop a master maintenance plan as well as infrastructure rollout plan upon submitting, they get evaluated, and if there are gaps or complete incapacity at college level, a team from national, which is constituted of assistant qualities that they are, as well as civil engineers, actually go and assist an institution, amongst others, to build that capacity and also to assist them in developing those plans that are actually required. So that when funds are transferred, they are directed to specific areas that they need to be expanded for. And the monitoring and evaluation then, it gets directed in that way. So the rollout plan for the construction of new college is being implemented in various programs. We'll get into that a bit later. So the maintenance of infrastructure of college is maintained in terms of the maintenance plan. Annually, the department evaluates the research output of universities against the research output policy. The implementation of the policy has resulted year on year with respect to the quantity and quality of research output that we are getting. The focus there going forward will be on improving the processes of information and the quality of output thereof. We also look at the transformational issues, of which, amongst others, is establishing South Africa's universities framework, of which the department is implementing a comprehensive program to transform and develop university staff in respect to training at the post-doctoral level, undergraduate level, as well as programs to develop professors, especially women and black in general. So we report annually on progress developed and challenges that we do encounter. To come specifically, in total, there were 110 targets in 2018-19 financial year, of which 75 were the direct outputs of the department, and we achieved 95% of that. So the three of the four targets that were not achieved are in Program 1 and Program 3 in the main. So 35 were system targets. System targets are targets that are implemented at institutional level, at the university level, at the college level, at the sector education and training authority level. All those are institutions or entities that do have their management structure with accounting officer, as well as their government structure, either through a board or a council. So we relate to them by transferring funds, as well as monitoring and evaluating the work that they are doing in respect to enrollment plans, as well as search targets that are there for each and every institution. So in this respect, 35 were system targets relating to access, success, transformation, and other systemic areas of strategic interest to the department. And it's only 46%, 15 of the 35 targets that were achieved. So in the overall, combining the departmental targets as well as system targets, we have achieved 79% in the overall. The picture there is just indicating, making a comparison between 2017-18 as well as 2018-19 financial year in respect to the direct output. So performance, you can see that, has been consistent over the past 2 years. There has been a marginal improvement in 2018-19. But we'll be explaining this further down the line when we're dealing with the program reporting. It's just high level, you know, at the present moment. If you go over the page, you see there the system output. You can see for 2018-19, the system output dropped quite a bit. But the substantiated reason will be provided further down in respect to the specific program. I think it would be slide 17 and 18 that we're talking about the reasons behind that report, without giving here a highlight of an overview. Now, the following then slide would actually be looking at the specific programs in respect to core delivery programs of the department, which is university, civic college, skills, as well as community education and training. The support programs, which is program one, administration, and the program two, which is planning. If you look at slide 17 for instance, it's just outlining the purpose of the program, which is to develop and coordinate fully and regulatory framework for an effective and effective university education system, and it provides financial support to universities, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme and National Institute for Higher Education. So over the past 5 years strategic plan, a number of steering mechanisms have been developed. Now the focus of the branch in this instance was on implementation and oversight, monitoring and evaluation of the program that are in place. There were 15 planned outputs for the financial year ending at 31st March 2019. These were in the form of oversight reports on various programs. Now that slide 12, there we are actually giving an account on performance against planned outputs or targets. So of the 15 planned outputs, 14 oversight reports were produced, and the list of those reports is listed in there. Slide 12, from 1 to 6, starting from higher education, age program, financial health of universities, as we indicated earlier on. If you look at slide 13, it's continuing with the list of the reports that we have produced over the years. Perhaps if the honorable member should look at those lists, you know, some reports. But the key thing, at slide 14, the output that was not achieved is a report on the 2017 research output in the future approved and published on the departmental website. We are accounting for this one, which was not achieved at that time. The challenge here is that in the annual report, it was stated that the report would have to be uploaded on the APP. But a mishap happened because the department processed this matter and they decided that the report for it to actually be acknowledged as existing, it doesn't need to be uploaded. But at that time, what was reflected on the APP was the need for the uploading of the report. That's the only mishap that happened. The report was available, but the only thing that didn't happen, it was not uploaded on the website. So that's the explanation in respect to that. If you go then to slide 15. That is the indication of the target. Of the 16 targets, 8 has been achieved. That is 50% of the target. For instance, student enrollment in public higher education institutions. The target was 1 million at 9,500. We managed to achieve 1,036,984. Two graduates in engineering science from university. We have overachieved that because the target was 12,590. We have achieved 12,955. Graduate in human health and animal health sciences from university. We have underachieved there, but just imagine, because the target was 10,680. So we achieved only 10,456. For graduates in natural and physical sciences from university, we have overachieved that. Graduates in initial teacher education from universities, we have overachieved that. Number six, doctoral graduates from universities, we have overachieved that. We looked at the target of 2,965, but we managed to exceed 3,000, which means that we're producing more PhD graduates in the system, and we're encouraging everybody who would like to enroll for PhD to do so. We give support and see progress. It's quite good. That includes everybody.
Thank you.
Yes,
as a teacher, it was in the grant. It was in your intervention. They are financed from your...
Correct. The seven were overachieved there. Research master graduate. We just fell short there. We aimed at 8,366, but we managed to get 8,010. Success rate in university, we're looking at 17%, but we just missed it by 1%. As well as higher education undergraduate success rate, we're looking at 83%, we got 82%. We missed it by just 1%. Slide 15. It's higher education undergraduate success rate distance. 69, we got 67%. Universities accredited to offer TVET college lecturer qualifications. So what has been happening in the system? There hasn't been a program for training lecturers or producing lecturers who are teaching in TVET College. We then engage our university, TVET College, about the necessity to develop programs that would train lecturers for specific locations, teaching and training in TVET College out of the system. So quite a number of universities developed those programs, and they started enrolling undergraduate students for those programs. So going forward, the lecturers who are lecturing in TVET College will actually be producing them for that specific purpose, so which is good for the country. So universities therefore accredited to offer TVET College lecturer qualification. We're looking at three. We manage put through five. And we're looking at rolling it out to other institutions. University academic staff with PhD graduates, our target was 45%. We managed to get them to 46%.
What are the actual numbers?
The actual numbers I won't have. We were counting it only in percentage. We can look it and give them the actual figure. We do have that. So that I don't have them from the top of my head. It's for the entire system, for all universities.
I can look it up quickly.
Yeah. Additional first time entrants, black and women, to the academic workforce in addition to normal replacement and plan. We're looking at 100, which is the target. We managed to get it to 472, which is quite massive. So in respect to some of the transformative work in the system, we've achieved major strides. First year students in foundation program, we're looking at 22,000. We just got 21,000, missed by 1,000. Foundation phase students, when they are registered, we enroll them in a program which is preparing them to succeed in their university life. We call it foundation phase program. So we've increased it to assist students who are coming from schools that are in disadvantaged areas so that they are able to be made ready to progress quite well in the university system. We call it foundation phase program. It has got its own predetermined or determined curriculum that would be assisted. A letter to university students obtaining financial aid. We're looking at 270,000, but we made 250. So, but that one is as a result of the efficiency of the system that they are improving. Because now we are more able to get a true picture of the data. In respect to the rigorous measures that National Student Financial Aid Scheme has put in place to verify the eligibility of a student upon applying to get NEFA as to whether this student is indeed eligible to get bursary or not. We have eliminated a lot of irregularity in the system, amongst other things. So the reasons for underperformance, as I indicated, you know, earlier on, that in these areas of underperformance, there are reasons that were actually given. So students enrolled in public higher education studies at university, performance deviated from the target by 0.4%. So this deviation is within the allowable percentage of 2%. So if a university has got a planned enrollment target, the deviation which is allowed is either 2% under or 2% above. Because if it becomes more above, it will cause burden financially and also burden on infrastructure of the institution. We're planning such that it could be a variance of 2% either side. So institutions fell within that. Research myself graduate, as I indicated, in there. So the ministerial target was not reached. However, the target in the ministerial statement could not be used to set the 2018-19 target as it would. Not have been accepted to set a target lower than the previous year's achievement of 2017-18 financial year. Unfortunately, universities did not achieve the higher target. Notwithstanding this, it should be noted that the enrollment planning target was actually achieved within the set frame. The success rate of universities, so this deviation is within the acceptable 2% as well. So the higher education undergraduate success rate, so the deviation as well is within 2%. student information phase program. The reason why we didn't achieve that is because the University of the Valley University of Technology couldn't enroll in this area because of the challenges administrative they had. And the honorable member would recall that the minister has since put that university under administration. And it explained why it was not able to perform as it should. The first spokesperson can confirm today that it is indeed under administration, which is doing well. Going on, the university students obtaining financial aid. So in this area, in the main, the data is being cleaned out because 2017 and 2018, we had huge complaints in relation to the data processes for students in institutions as well as net first level. But since it was put under administration, the cleanup has progressed quite very well. In respect to graduates in human, health, and animal sciences from university, a factor here that may have contributed to underperformance is that the Bachelor of Veterinary Sciences was recalculated from being a 3-year degree to a 4-year degree. So there was that year, which was a lapse. Now, as we go now, phase in approach, things will align quite in progress. So it's not a major thing. So if you look at people colleges, basically, the purpose there is to plan, develop, implement, monitor, maintain, and evaluate national policy programs, assessment, practices, and systems. The focus of the branch then, during the other review, was on oversight monitoring of Tibet College. So the Tibet College infrastructure development and maintenance, teaching and learning support, Tibet College sector performance. The branch had 25 planned outputs for the 2018-19 financial year. All have been achieved. This is a great achievement. So performance on infrastructure. The challenge that I want to share with the government is that poor condition of Tibet college facilities related to the care and maintenance increased access required for students over the years. So this allocation of 1.3 million I spoke about, it has then helped the department and college to attend to this matter. So the consistency of a conditional allocation of 35% advance, which is amounting to 9.1 million per Tibet college. So the allocation of the balance there on the countries was made on the basis of as is condition assessment to priority area. So what we did, we worked with Tibet College and provided funding to build capacity so that they are able to work out plans for maintenance and infrastructure. And then upon receiving a fully costed maintenance plan and infrastructure rollout, then the next tranche would be transferred to a university, to a college, which is ready to spend that amount of money in respect to priority areas that have been identified, which in the main would be bus services, services compliance, sanitation, building repairs, student accommodation repairs, among other things, not an exhaustive list. So the allocation for the next 2 years of the LPS was to be based on the condition assessment, which is about to commence at TVET College. So we're looking at consolidating and strengthening our system in TVET College and building capacity over time in a phased-in approach. This was just the first allocation that we received. So the achievement there, oversight report on the following has been produced: progress on the rollout plan for the construction of the 9 new campuses. I wish I can take you there, honorable member, so that you can see brick and mortar, what is that, Banongo, amongst other areas, and Mumushe, further down, Pondole, progress on the rollout plan in this construction is continuing. So the infrastructure maintenance will give you a picture, but if you look at this slide, it's just giving you a list of new construction sites, which is Cabinet, Alwano, State Street, Mumushe, and Singa, Greytown, Umzimku, and other areas that are for refurbishment. Nongo, Quadricard. It's just giving the contract value. If you look at Kafrenen, it's 108 million. 111,000. It's a lot of money of investment. Creation of jobs, you know, local. Alwal North, 116,928,000. You know, all of them, a lot of money. And we are giving you an anticipated completion date on the column before the last one. So the employment of local labor, female and male, we're giving figures there. And we've made the point that we must make it compulsory that at the construction phase, women must be employed as well. So, but we're working in balancing up the number. But jobs that have been created, you know, in the overall, 819 jobs have been created. If you look at the next phase, we are only talking there about challenges, if there are any, and the remedial action. So if you look at Kafrenen moving, Alwa North, it's after we have intervened. There were disruptions there at Alwa North, and I had to personally go there because the problems were not getting resolved. We dealt with the matter. We put a Saturday, you know, aside. And we talked to everybody to understand the damage and the harm that is being caused to government. Because we built a day, 78,000 rand, doing nothing. Now when there's a disruption in a construction site, the cost do escalate because that equipment you have hired, everything which is there, security which is there, you continue paying whether there is work or not. That's the problem. And some staff members that are in your employ, you have to pay them because it's not their cost that construction is not taking place. So it becomes quite costly. And if honorable members can assist where they are located in resolving speaking open that debt encounter. Third phase, it was an obstruction of road by illegal housing and wastewater facilities from private septic tanks. But the department engaged with the municipalities to resolve the problem as it expatiated physical health as well as environmental issues. The engagement is ongoing. The third phase is that there, some disturbances were actually called by some councillors in the area. to engage in that area. And you put measures in place to deal with that matter. Mungushe, no problem. Msinga, no problem. Greater, no problem. Umzimkulu, it was a site shut down by Headquarters Business Forum on the 29th of August, 2019. So, we're to increase security and the department. Is in contact with all stakeholders in there. Nongoma, no challenge, but the Gazi, no challenge. If you go to the next slide, 23, we're showing you pictures just to give you a taste of how things look like there. It's nice to see construction happening. You go to Kaplan, you go to Mungusha, you go to Stepway, you go to Greater, you go to Wakazar, you go to Mchim, you go to Wanongo, you go to Mzimpo. In respect to the challenges, that we want to share with you. Here in this slide, what is the challenge? Is the question of compatibility of data from the side of the department as well as TVET College level, of which we are working on it so that it becomes quite compatible and integrated in order to produce quality data in respect to collection, generation, and provision of the quality and reliability data. So, as I say, we have various sources of performance data, but we are working in developing a single framework or model in order to ensure that there is synchronization of processes and activities in this regard. So measurement of college county performance as well is being worked out in the department, because all colleges in respect to county, there are certain standards that they have to meet in terms of practice. So various oversight site reports have been produced as planned in respect to government, conduct of public examination, eradication of certification backlog done quarterly. That's a list of the reports that we are producing. If you look at slide 34, some of the challenges in respect to teaching and training. Poor throughput rate on NCV students, which is a matter which is receiving, attention. Disbursement of network grants. It's in respect to the question of administration capacity at NETFAS, but they are addressing it quite aggressively, as well as at college level. As and when these problems are encountered, we normally dispatch officials from the department, NETFAS, to go and seek the officials at college level to sort out all these problems. Oversight monitoring continued and reports have been produced as planned. Those are related to academic performance of students, student support services, throughput rate, stakeholder engagement, it happened. So the challenges in respect to exams, which we are addressing through the renewal of the police, of which the processes have actually been undertaken, and there is a proposal which the minister is considering in this respect. The TVET colleges run 7 examination cycles conducted back to back annually. If I may illustrate this, in the schooling system, examination only once in a year and supplement that. In Tivet College 3, 7 examination sizes. With their supplementary examination. It's a massive. DBE, they write about 58, maybe to 60 papers. Examination cycle. Here, in these 7 examination cycles, it's over 900 examination papers. You would imagine what it does, setting, moderation of examination papers, packing and distribution is quite massive. That's what we are looking at addressing by the review of the policy to determine the exit level, amongst other things. I thought I just need to elaborate on this. So, which makes the examination system to be a bit outdated. So, the exam irregularities that we encounter is leakages, distribution, and marking as well, because it's intensive, quite repeated, you know, throughout the year. So in respect to monitoring, the report has been produced as planned. The conduct of public TVET College Examination Center is during national examination and assessment education of certification, eradication of the certification records, produce report quarterly, amongst other things. The function of IT examination services, which should be attention, you know, as well. Now, there were 11 targets in the TVET College system, that is slide 36. Headcount enrollment in TVET College. You can see that the headcount enrollment has gone down from 710,535 to 667,955. This is because now the enrollment planning is being standardized to correlate with the available funding so that colleges are not put under perpetual distress. So as we strive, we achieve balance between enrollment figures and funding, then when we're stabilized there, we're looking at taking up and increasing. So entry certification rate, we made that by 8%. Entry certification rate did well. Entry well. Certificate issued to qualifying students. Here, it's 3 months, but we're doing it in 4 months. The only thing here which happened that when we counted initially, we included holidays as well as weekends. We didn't confine ourselves only in working days. But when you look in respect to working days, we are meeting the target of 3 months. That is how it was set up. There are public TVET colleges, examination centers evaluated 100%, qualifying students obtaining network. You see there a big drop. That big drop is as a result of the efficiency of the system now that NEFAS is implementing. It has eradicated a lot of some things that were not supposed to have happened in the system. And the other area is in respect to tight controls that are related to progression, because if you are funded this financial year, fine, you have to, in order for you to qualify in the following year, to pass a certain number of subjects. If you don't pass, to fail, you don't become eligible for funding. So the system now is becoming quite efficient in the implementation of all levels of determination for eligibility in the system, which is a good thing to address the question of wastage of public resources. Let's fund it. The first one that MCC obtaining qualification is later time, 50%, we're not doing well there. Civil institutions compliant to government standards by 2019 and increased every year and year. We're looking at 80%, but we are at 56%. We are enforcing Council of Civil Policy to comply fully in respect to the question of government. And we are holding them to account in respect to that. Civil lecturers that are undergoing specific hours of work in their industry. We have started with the idea that because the training in civil policy is both theoretical and practical. So we're saying the lecturers who are lecturing there, they should not only lecture theoretically, they must also themselves be exposed to workplace environment so that what they teach becomes compatible with what the industry requires. So we've managed to ensure that this 80% of the lecturing staff, they do get this exposure. And we are looking at increasing it. Students enrolled in foundation phase. We have just introduced this, and we targeted that 600 would enroll in this program. But we managed to ensure that 371 are enrolled in it. Over the page, we're just giving reasons for not being able to achieve in some specific indicators. For instance, on headcount enrollment, I've explained this one, which is in respect to what we're sorting out in data. Number two, MCV, level 4 certificate. The target was set quite ambitious, as it has not been reached. But now we are getting into the upward trend. Certificate issue, that is number two, in qualifying countries in 3 months, has explained this one, the reason. For the qualifying students obtaining their first financial year, I want us to look at this one too. NSFAS Central Bursary Management System was implemented for the first time in all civil policies during 2017. Which led to the data integrity challenges, the late payment of tuition fees to colleges, and the delayed disbursement to students. Some improvements were recorded in 2018, the latter part of 2018, because we put NSFAS under administration in August 2018. And by the end of that financial year, of that academic year, you could see tremendous progress in addressing the challenges of both 2017 as well as 2018 and managing the applications for 2019 as well, with further improvements already evident in 2019. Quite commendable what the administration has done there. The funded NCV level 4 obtaining qualifications within stipulated time. Significant progress has been made here regarding the throughput rate. Further interventions such as provisional learning program should continue to improve the throughput rate, because that's why it is introduced, to prepare these students quite very well, so that when they enroll in the program that they will be qualifying on, so they don't struggle and drop out in the process of failing quite massively. So the lecturers that would be undergoing training, who are working in improving those areas. If you get to the next page, which is 39, it's in respect to skills branch. Here in the main is the work that we're doing in coordinating with the sector education and training authority, which of which its purpose is to promote and monitor the national skills development strategy, develop a skills development policy and regulatory framework for an effective skills development system. Its focus during the year under review was on implementation of the national skills development strategy by CETAS, government hospitals, trade testing at Indela, the development of the national artisan development information management system. So the performance therefore in respect to plan also, all eight plans have been achieved. That is the implementation of the Vice Citizen State quarterly report on the government of hospitals processing trade test applications within an average of 40 days as compared to 80 days. Now, if you look at the slide 41, four of six targets in the skills development system were achieved during 2018 financial year. The number of work-based learning opportunities, the target was 135,000. It made up 2,852 number of new artisans qualified per annum. We didn't make that one. We're looking at 22,000, but we managed to make 19,000. The number of new artisan learners registered nationally per annum, which is number three, doing well there. It was 28,000. We came to 29,000. National artisan learners trade test pass rate at Intel. The target is 1, but we are at 58% at the present moment. National artisan learners who are employed, or self-employed. The target is 75%, but the achievement is 77%. The promotion is number 6, promotion of hospitals meeting standards of good government. The target is 65, we made up 67%. This is a good indication. For the reason for not achieving, we look at new artisan learners qualified per annum. The smaller number of learners registered during 2015-16 financial year had an impact on the throughput, as it takes 3 years for learners to complete their study. Number 2, national artisan learner trade test pass rate, which is including Indela. So introduction of artisan recognition of prior learning, ARPL, has impacted on the pass rate at Indela for the trade in which ARPL was implemented. More people had to go through ARPL prior to the trade test in 8 specific trades, but had limited impact on the average of pass rate in the overall. In respect to the Community Education and Training Authority, this is a new sector in the city. And its purpose of the program is to plan, develop, implement, monitor, maintain, and evaluate national policy, program assessment practices, and systems of community education and training. The focus for the year under review was on oversight monitoring. That is governance, teaching and learning, CET college system, performance, partnership agreements, infrastructure, and maintenance. The 6 targeted oversight reports on the above have been produced as planned. So, in respect to headcount enrollment in CET, the target was 320, but the actual is 193,000. The certification rate is 40%. We managed to get 41.7% in that respect. Program 2, which is planning, its purpose really to provide strategic direction in the development, implementation, monitoring of the financial policy and human resource development strategy for South Africa. It is comprised of four sub-directorates as follows: policy planning, monitoring and evaluation, social inclusion and equity, international relations, legal and legislative services. Now, their performance against plan targets. There were 11 plans also in 2019 financial year. All were achieved as planned. This is a list of the reports that have to be produced and that has actually happened as planned. If you turn to to slide 47, this is administration, that is your HR administration, of which its purpose is to provide strategic leadership, management, support services to the department. Its focus areas with 819 financial year: fulfilling of funded vacancies, improving human resource recruitment and selection process, management of customer cases, and management of creditor payment. The branch managed to achieve 7 out of 10 targets. She has been able to fill funded vacancies within 159 days against 180. 93.8% funded vacancies were filled during 2018-19 financial year, which is exceeding the target of 90%. Network connectivity uptime has been at 99.5% throughout the financial year against the planned target of 95%. The department received an unqualified audit opinion from the Auditor General as planned. And 18 monitors in respect to financial management as well as performance information, of which in respect to financial management, there were no findings at all, what they would normally call clean audit. Department developed and implemented a remedial plan on audit findings on the previous financial year. The report on the corporate governance of ICT policy framework was produced. ICT requirement plan for 2019-20 was also developed. The 30% targets that were not achieved, it's a question of the disciplinary cases. Now, the challenge here is that we are also responsible for TVET policy in respect to disciplinary cases. And in terms of the presiding officer, we have to use people from within government, and we would use officials from other government departments. And normally, they find it difficult to find time to preside over the entire process, because at times these hearings, they would be adjourned, because the person who is appearing to provide a sick note, and you to be adjourned, you come again, another reason is offered. So underperformance is attributed in the main to chairpersons who do not prioritize disciplinary hearings, or lack of capacity to investigate, initiate, and sharing of disciplinary hearings. Training on investigation, initiating as well as sharing disciplinary hearings is planned to be conducted, but we're engaging with other government departments that people who get appointed to be presiding officers, they must be afforded sufficient time to discharge those responsibilities. So in respect to invoices that should be paid within 30 days, only 97.96% of invoices were paid within 30 days. The reason is that there is no compliance by some managers on the 30 days turnaround time, and in some instances, it's related to the incorrect information which is submitted when claims are made against certain invoices, which then the provider takes time to provide that outstanding information. We are working to enforce compliance in the measures that we have in the system. The percentage of audit issues received that are attended to, that is slide 51, only 50% of audit issues were attended to against the target of 100%. The reason is that audit issues are not reported on time, which are required supporting documentation in some instances. So quality control measures will be applied through interim audit to ensure compliance with the Solicitor General request. So the area now is in relation to financial information, for which I will ask the CFO to take us through that part. If the chair allows that to happen, and ask the CFO.
Yeah,
we'll engage after the... Careful. Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, from slide 52. Chair and honourable members, that is part E of the annual report, which consists of the report of the accounting officer, the report of the audit committee, of the AG, as well as all the financial statements and the notes to the financial statements. We will, in this section, focus on each report and give you a short summary of the outcome of the financial statements, as well as information on the action plan to improve the audit findings and the impact of the 2018-19 financial outcome on departmental operations. On slide 53, the report of the accounting officer, 25-page report, where the accounting officer summarizes some of the financial affairs of the department, provides an overview of some significant events that took place within the department, key policy developments, and normal spending trends. It further includes a narrative pertaining to services, capacity constraints, and organizational arrangements alongside corporate governance arrangements endorsed within the department. You can find that report, Chair, from page 150 to page 174 of the annual report. On the next two pages of the annual report, slide 54, is the report of the Audit Committee. The Audit Committee expresses the committee's views on the effectiveness of internal controls within the department, the quality of reporting in terms of PFMA requirements, as well as the operations of internal audit and risk management. Based on the information contained in the report of the Audit Committee, the committee expressed its satisfaction with the unqualified audit opinion, but also expressed concerns of some non-compliance regarding internal controls, information technology, and performance information reporting. If you look at the report of the Auditor General on slide 55, the report is on pages 177 to 181 of the annual report. We received an unqualified audit opinion regarding the financial statements without material misstatements. There were, however, material findings by the Auditor General, specifically regarding the usefulness and reliability of performance information of university education branch, as well as the TVET branch and in the CET branch. There were also some erroneous payments made to CET college employees. Now, if you look at these findings, Jefferson, the findings for programs 3 and 4, that is universities and TVET, are mainly related to the reliability of information originating from the number of students qualifying and receiving financial assistance from NSFAS. The findings for Program 6, CET, Community Education, relates to inappropriate audit evidence that did not allow the Auditor General to confirm reported achievements. With reference to the material finding on erroneous payments, Chair, that is one of the matters that you also raised in your introductory remarks. We can report the following. Firstly, that we identified the payments linked to qualification improvements during May 2018. The matter was immediately reported and is currently under investigation by the South African Police Services in collaboration with the Hawks. Disciplinary action has been instituted against relevant employees. The accounting officer also implemented corrective measures that included revised delegations of authority. The total amount of this fraudulent payment was 24.772 million rand. Now, of this amount, Chairperson, and there is also a further breakdown that I will provide you later on, 12.834 million has been recovered, a portion of which also was opened at debt as debt cases. It leaves an outstanding amount to be resolved of 11.938 million rand, which is part of the further investigation by the police services and the Hawks. So then we have the financial statements. The appropriation statements provide then an indication of our spending against the appropriated funds that we had for the financial year. Our total appropriation was 90.603 billion rand. That included voted funds, the normal voted funds of the department, 73.124 billion, and our direct charges, which consist of the skills levies that are paid to the CETAS and the NSF, was 17.479 billion. Our total expenditure, Chair, was 90.403 billion, and that leaves us with a variance or underspending of 200.335 million rand, a 0.22 percentage of our total voted funds. There are more details, Chair, on each program and the various economic classifications in the annual reports, and those can be found from page 186 to 207 of the annual report. If we look at the underspending of 200 million, Chair, slides number 58 as well as 59 provide you with a breakdown thereof. Slide 58 indicates the underspending per program, where one can see that the biggest underspending was under community education and training colleges. And for direct charges, we must just emphasize that those were paid in full, the skills levies. Slide number 59. More detail on the underspending of 200 million. Firstly, the biggest portion was on compensation of employees, and those were as a result of partly natural attrition, unfilled vacancies, and the biggest portion, Chair, which is under community education and training, is with regard to the late submission of claims. That is where the amount of 193 million is. The other three big issues, firstly, goods and services, mainly travel and subsistence claims outstanding, which is only 538,000 rand. We had some favorable exchange rates for the membership fee that we paid to the Commonwealth of Learning, and we had some unclaimed university interest and redemption payments in total 4.9 million. And on equipment, underspending of 1.8 million. It's mainly due to orders placed, but equipment not yet received, invoices not yet received, and they could not be paid by 31 March 2019. Slide number 63 gives a summary of irregular expenditure reported in the financial statements for the 2018-19 financial year. Now, irregular expenditure is under note 25 of the financial statements, page 236. A total amount of 138.194 million is reported as irregular expenditure, and it consists of the items listed at the bottom of that slide as well as on the next slide. The biggest item change, the first one, which has been the appointment of a service provider not scoring the highest points during evaluation. I must also indicate here, Chair, that this was a three-year contract which started in 2015-16, and that is why the amount is so high, because it includes the total cost of that contract over the three-year period. This matter has been investigated, reports have been issued, and it is currently with the accounting officer for further consideration. The next one, Chair, is incorrect procurement procedure that were followed by our legal services component for the appointment of an investigator. That matter, since we finalized the presentation, Chair, has been finalized, the investigation, and has been handed over to the labor relations component for disciplinary action. We have a small 7,000 on catering where wrong procurement procedure was followed, Chair. Item number 4, 18,000 rand. Once again, wrong procurement procedure. That was for the maintenance of a portion of the IT system. Item number 5, there were also wrong procedure followed for the maintenance and repairs of machinery. And all these matters are still under investigation. Item number 6, Chair, 228,000, that's the other bigger one, was with regard to procurement procedure on a certain communication event. The matter was investigated. It is with labor relations, and the disciplinary process is ongoing. Slide number 62, Chair, is on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the erroneous payments to CET college employees. Previously mentioned, the amount of 24.7 million. Now, in that regard, Chair, the total net fruitless and wasteful expenditure reported in the financial statements on page 237 of 26 amounts to 11.956 million rand. Now, the amount is made up as follows. Firstly, the total payments made were 24.772 million rand. Then, payments that were corrected and refunded amounted to 5.942 million. Payments that were opened as debt cases, where the officials confirmed and agreed that they received the payments wrongly, the cases were opened 6.892 million. If we take that off the total payments made, the unresolved cases, which is still under investigation, amounts to 11.938 million rand. Chair, in terms of the audit action plans, all branches completed their action plans to address the control deficiencies that the Auditor General raised in some of the audit findings. The plans address all the matters raised by the AG. I must also emphasize, Chair, that this is from performance information to HR matters, to IT matters, to financial matters. Each and every finding raised by the AG has been included in the audit action plan. The Director General already approved the action plan, and the first progress reports will be submitted during the middle of October, and there will be regular reports going to the Minister, the Director General, and the Audit Committee regarding progress on the audit action plan. Lastly, Chair, just to reflect on the impact on operations, if we look at the level of spending, while the amount of 200 million sounds very huge, it's only 0.22% of the total of the budget of the department that were not spent, and it did not have a negative impact on the operations of the department, especially If one takes into account that the majority of that amount is outstanding claims that were not yet received by the end of March. Strict measures were also in place to prevent overspending of the boat. Reason for that being, Chair, that if you look at the normal operational costs in terms of, for example, our administrative expenditure, that the need in the department is very high and we almost spent the full amount on goods and services. And we had to put some measures in place to ensure that we do not overspend. If you look at the results in the financial statements, for example, of provisions, accruals and commitments, and if all those matters were spent by 31 March, we would have actually overspent the budget, and that would have constituted unauthorized expenditure in terms of the PFMA. So the outcome of the expenditure chain within the current economic pressures could place similar pressures in the on the department for the current financial year. We are already placing measures to ensure that we once again do not overspend and remain within the budget. And that all is also happening within the context of ensuring that there are no negative impacts on the operations of the department. There are still significant pressures, Chair, especially if one look at the responsibilities and functions for the TVET and CET sectors, the need for regional presence, and the very important monitoring of the entire system, especially if we look at the requirements of Treasury Regulation 8.4 regarding the transfer payments that must be managed in a specific way. And if we consider and look at our budget as a whole, transfer payments are the majority of the budget and requires significant monitoring and evaluation on the side of the department. Chair, that's all from the finance side. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Baya. This is very, very useful information. And the finances are very easy to follow up. When you make the presentation, I'm real bad with finances. But I'm able to follow what you say. Some of the questions, I think I raised them in the opening remarks. The substance that I check with all departments that you work with, where I participate in committees, it's the participation of people with disabilities in the department's programs, both in the construction of schools, I see this male, female. I don't see anywhere where there's, you know, an allocation for participation of people with disabilities. And I'm worried again by the number of women participants in the companies of women, participating in the construction of these Tibet colleges and other higher education infrastructure. The numbers don't sound very okay for men. What is this that the department is going to do to ensure that the participation of women gets closer to that of men in terms of numbers, or where possible actually go to, that is the ideal situation. But I'd like to know, that's another additional question from you. Yeah, can you move on to my comment and ask questions? Christian, Domini, Honorable Baha, Matan Luna, Stephen, Honorable Christian.
Thank you, Chief Wessel.
And thank you very much for the presentation from the department. Thank you. Really good presentation and gave us a good overview. So I apologize if I ask questions that seem a little bit out of context or that you might have answered, but it was a lot to take in on the spot. So my first question would be around the indirect expenditure. And I think it's more a statement than a question. It's just that it's extremely concerning that there is such a large amount of irregular expenditure. So what consequence management do you have in place for this irregular expenditure? And, you know, there's obviously weaknesses in the supply chain management in those sectors, for example, higher education at universities, at TVS colleges, and CPT. So what measures have you got in place there? What mechanisms are in place? How are you tracking that irregular expenditure? Could you tell us a little bit more about that? Then the NISFAS issue, as always, seems to come up. And even though you have said that the mechanisms have improved recently, I still have a concern that NISFAS cannot verify accurately students' credentials when they apply for bursaries. So, and it seems to me that NISFAS is not correctly capacitated to verify students' credentials. It's concerning for me that your target at TVET colleges, I think, was 400,000 students who were supposed to get bursaries, and only 200,000 students, 2,339 students received such bursaries. That seems to me a little bit low if your reasoning is that NISFAS's mechanisms have become more stringent. And my concern is that there are certain students missing out on bursaries or missing out the opportunity to get access to TVET colleges because NISFAS might not have the appropriate mechanisms in place to be checking this. So my question is NISFAS adequately capacitated to see to it that all our students at universities and at TVET colleges are actually vetted properly to receive their bursaries? And if NISFAS is not properly capacitated, is the department's view in future to keep the administrative process at NISFAS, or do you intend giving back the administrative duty of NISFAS bursary back to colleges and to, in fact, just back to universities? Because I know to a large extent it is still being handled by TVET colleges. My other question is, I see that there are acting DDGs in three of the programs. I think one of them are seated here with us today. Why do we still have acting DDGs in the department, and when will that be corrected? The infrastructure, the new infrastructure grant that you have, that you are busy with at the moment, does this include accommodation at TVET colleges? Because I know this could be part of the reason why you haven't met your targets for enrollments at TVET, because the accommodation is not sufficient at such TVET institutions. I would also like to give you, if you don't have it at hand, you can maybe send it to us later, which universities are offering TVET training to lecturers at the moment. I would be interested to know that, so that we can in turn take that back to our provinces. We've seen a lot of pictures, and I just want to commend you on the building of new infrastructure, especially at TVET colleges. However, I would like, in the 5-year period that we are here, that the Department of Higher Education keep us on track as to when that infrastructure will be completed, because I know historically TVETs have had an issue with commencing building of the infrastructure and actually getting to completion of such infrastructure. So What is the completion date of that infrastructure? And my last, I still have more questions, but maybe I should put it in writing. I would like to know, I know that colleges and universities have student support services and so on, in light of the gender-based violence that we've experienced recently, and I know that you have numerous plans in place for improving throughput rates, for example, getting students placed in workplaces and so on, but what do you have in place at universities and students to keep our students safe? Are you busy with the program? Are you enrolling a program? Are you looking at programs at TVET colleges, universities, CETs, institutions to keep our students safe? Can I ask my last question? I'm sorry.
No, you're welcome.
I just want to know about the placement of NCV certified students in comparison to the placement of the old in level students, the N1, N2, and I'm speaking specifically about engineering students now. Could you maybe tell us which are the most popular in industry? Does your industry want the NCV certified students, or is your industry still looking at the historical N1, N2, N3 related certification? And is your NCV certified students, are they currently alleviating the autism shortage that we are experiencing in the country? Thank you.
Enkosini report bethuna icacile kuba kumnyama kuye kufisa noko as much as mane sidibana kuye kufisa nathi siye sibona kodwa ke kukhona indawo sifuna iclarity kuzo not to say into yobana sithi mhlawumbi report iyeleten but jtat ngokuye wena sihamba yonke le nto sizawuye side siyambe parallel sonke ngoku sesesemva kancono ngicela siyeni phayana kwi-report ka-AG. The AG noted that the report of performance information against the objectives continues to be a cause for concern. In some instances, further improvement is still required pertaining to external evidence regarding performance information for programs 3, 4, and 6 in effect to ensure that reports are fully supported by accurate, valid, and complete evidence that the department has action plans to address this for AG. Two, you set targets. We have got ATP targets. We have got systematic targets. Kumnyama kumkai. And now, ATP knows, at least in South Africa. We system, I don't know if it will, and not the system ends on to it, but I didn't understand it. Because they say, Paya, it targets him, the V2, and that business, but in actual one. So, which is 50%. Can you, Zamun, can you understand it? Because I'm not quite sure you understand, can you understand? You know? Because there were four targets not achieved for 2018 and 2019. Reason for parameter adequate for, example, 22% of disciplinary cases are not resolved due to lack of representative and lack of continuity in planning. 2.1 of invoice not processed within 30 days, 40% of project issues not processed continuously. Last in management website published report on the website. On page 89 of 2018-19 annual report, automatic performance of certification and selling for services. There seems to be an error in terms of tabulating the performance. That is, in this report, that 3 or 50% of the target has not been achieved. However, it seems like only 2 out of 6 were not achieved. Can the department provide clarity to us about that?
Yeah. Having mine very, very few in comparison with other members, Chair, or if you want to know. DJ, thank you for the presentation. I think it was elaborate, though long, but I think we managed to get the gist of what we were trying to bring across. My first question is around the systematic target. You said that some of those, I understand that is out of the hands of the department as it is, but in some instances the department does provide funding to those. Now, you know, how do we follow the money then in terms of accountability? Because if you fund and targets are not met, obviously you will raise the question as to get some form of accountability as to how the spending happened in that situation. The next one would be on the, I think my colleague did raise an issue about the half target achieved in terms of NESPA, the 449 versus the 200,000 or something. Because I wanted to check, Chairperson, as to whether as part of this efficient, effective administrative system that NESPA has in place now, doesn't it kind of close out some of potential students? So I'm saying, you know, doing the right thing in terms of efficient systems, but at the same time closing out some who would not have an opportunity to get an education. So I know probably there's a fine line, but I think it's important to get a sense of whether achieving this or not disadvantaging others. The third one is in terms of CTAS. I think in the presentation there was something about a target on CTAS achieving good governance and some not. What are the consequence management steps that we take in situations where we find that a CTA is not in keeping with good governance standards? And then on the question of incorrect payment, I think it's on CET specifically. I know CFO 0.22 relatively is a small percentage, but I think it depends as to 0.22% of how much. Because once you get to that answer, you are able to say 0.22 is a lot of money. But generally, it's small, but I think in this case, it's not. How did we get to CET with all these incorrect payments? Because my issue is that whenever issues of, in inverted commas, fraud and corrupt activity raise its ugly head, it takes away from a genuine project that the government is embarking on. So for me, 0.22 is neither here nor there, but I think it's about the real issue that we confront. How did we get to that? But also in terms of understanding, because I think for me the CET is quite a massive project and that could change people's lives for the better and in a massive way. So I'm trying to get a sense of who dropped the ball where, and I understand the fact that there are disciplinary things, half of it is accounted for, can be reclaimed and all those things, but how did we get to that point? And what measures then are in place to ensure that we avoid getting to such situation in the future? As I said, Chair, I'm brief for your work.
Mm.
For you, that was very good. Honorable Lutuli.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I was going to ask questions, but I'm not going to ask anymore because I'm wasting time. These members always ask questions that I want to ask. But next time, Chair, please, can I be number one on asking questions?
Another hand from the members.
Just before that, DG, there's the progress in the construction of the 90 West College. You raised something about the Wumsen Kul, that there are delays because of the heavy Kuala business, whatever, something foreign or something like that. What do they want? What is their concern? You wanted to say something?
Thanks, sir. My colleague will come. We'll address some of the questions in category. I'll just isolate a few of my colleagues will come. On the construction, one. The plan to roll out construction is also indicating the completion date, which is targeted. I think slide 21 is specifying, you know, the complication date, despite the challenges that are there. So it's provided for all of them. Now the employment statistics at a construction phase, we have made this insistence that there must be a serious consideration of employment of women. But some constraints, especially at the construction phase, it becomes in respect to the nature of the jobs that they are available. For instance, mixing, you know, and the bricklaying. You don't have as yet many women as you would like to have in that trade. A bit historic. We are making inroads, but at least for now, the development is a bit skewed. So I think it's mainly at the construction phase where there are some constraints that are practical. In respect to the jobs that become available. But all contractors are actually attempting to address that discrepancy. But in some instances, it is not quite easy to change everything overnight. For instance, in the training of players, we are making the point that in our training facilities, we correct that in enrollment, you know, players, which would give us better latitude, you know, later on. But as of now, there are some challenges in getting the people who are qualified in those areas, especially women, to make up the numbers. So that's the issue, Chair, in the in the main. NSFAS initially was administered entirely at institutional level, and NSFAS was mainly distributing funds to institutions. But over time, NSFAS worked out a system to centralize its administrative model, which then required all students who apply for NSFAS to send applications directly to NSFAS. We had challenges for 2017 in respect to assessment and taking of decisions upon determination of eligibility, 2018 as well, until NSFAS was put under administration, of which the administrator then started working in putting systems that would ensure that the backlogs of 2017 or decisions, funding decisions that were outstanding for 2017 and 18 cycles do get attended.
Mm-hmm.
The administrator did very tremendous work in addressing that and also putting systems to processing new applications for 2019. There are two areas that are critical in their processing. One is the determination of eligibility at the entry point. And the second one is the determination of eligibility in respect to progression. The higher the number of students who fail to progress, the lower the number that would be eligible for NSFAS funding in respect to progression. I think there is a tally here, a relationship between what we presented as pass rate to good rate, especially in TVET quality and CV, right, and a drop on number that would be eligible for getting funding for NSFAS. So basically, the reason why NSFAS now has come quite close into determining the actual baseline, one, is student assessment and evaluation processes at the entry point, where they check with SARS, home affairs, you know, everything, in order to ensure that really the income that has been specified is collaborated by other government departments or institutions. Secondly, upon having awarded, would you be able to meet the requirement to progress to the next level? We have to commend NSFAS here for ensuring that taxpayers' money is spent quite appropriately and students who get funded are the ones who are deserving in terms of quality. So that is the issue. Eligibility at an entry level, as well eligibility in respect to progression for that is what is giving us this result. And I think we must commend the NSFAS in respect to that. The infrastructure condition of people is attending to that matter.
Mm-hmm.
The question of institution standing, we take that and Arona. The system target we hold institution to account in respect to meeting the target as they are funded by the department or by government. through reporting mechanism, we evaluate those reports and make a determination that would indicate whether we need to give support to an institution to address those matters that are outstanding. And if the institution doesn't have capacity, what then forms of intervention that are required to assist to perform? Until this thing gets to extreme, putting it under administration. All of those are the mechanisms that are out there into ensuring that we hold them to account on the funds that are transferred to them for executing certain responsibilities that are determined. more earmarked grants with infrastructure, teaching and learning, clinical training platform, all of them, they are monitored and evaluated as such, and progress is assessed on an ongoing basis. Where there are defaults, we intervene and we hold them accountable quite decisively, up to putting them under administration where it is necessary. I'll ask my colleagues to come in and answer other questions in category disability.
Yeah. Mr. Captain, allow me to start by responding to your earlier remarks.
Are you 18?
I'm the DVD.
No,
I'm not 18 now. I'm not an expert. I'm not an actor. Yes.
Those who are acting when they told me to say that you are the acting
one. Yeah.
So I will get the answer to the question of acting, when will it and when are you going to have one to do.
No, on the acting of DDG, it's a matter that the minister is working on. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you. I'm the DDG responsible for corporate services. So program one is my area together with the CFO. Thank you, Chair. I think the first question the general demand is a concern on the feeling of itself. Not only limited to the three deputy director generals, as you have seen. Some of the understanding, according to our report, is attributed to the, you know, unfilled vacancies. Now, this is something that the AD also raised to the minister, and the minister has made specific commitments to deal with it. Now, what are we doing to address this? The first thing is that for quite a while, the department did not have an organizational structure that was, you know, conquered with by the Minister of Public Service and Administration. And that was then limiting our ability to simply use the budget and fill vacancies without an organizational structure that has been, you know, formally or officially approved. Now, the structure was approved in April this year, and we are currently working on a consolidated recruitment plan, looking at the entire system. We're talking of the post-establishment of about 29,000 and about 1,000 vacancies already that is identified. So we are working on a recruitment plan, you know, to fill those vacancies. We've already identified the vacancies, and the CFO raised an issue around regional offices. Regional offices have not been fully resolved due to the same reason that there are no structure for the regional offices. So we are now in the process of developing a recruitment plan, which should then be, you know, used to monitor also progress in filling those vacancies. The second one, the minister has approved that we should implement the delegation of authority to college to the touch only. Because what has been happening, the principal would give a certain delegation, and in some instances they would run the processes on their own, but submit the paperwork to the department to process the appointments on their side. So what we are now moving on is to give principals full access to appointment processes on their side, so that the head office doesn't process those appointments, but they happen at the college level. So that has been causing a delay, because head office didn't have capacity to process all those appointments. The second area that we are addressing, Chair, is that we are participating in the e-recruitment system that is driven by DPSA. The department has been, you know, identified as one of the departments that will be used in, as part of phase one. So that will also take us a long way in regards to that. We've also moved to an automated system in the department for processing submissions, and already that is realizing a lot of gains for the department, because the logjams have been reduced. Lastly, Chair, let me say that one of our problems has been the pre-screening of candidates when they are recommended. We've been relying on state security to do pre-screening, and the regulations are requiring that before you appoint a person, you must take them through the pre-screening. And the services of state security have really not been good for us. So we've now appointed the service provider to conduct our own pre-screening. So we no longer now have to go and wait for state security to do it. I was trying to give reasons so that the committee understands why there's been delays in the flow of the people. Then the, I thought I could also speak on the overpayment of employees.
Yes.
The question of overpayments, there are two reasons for that. One, in CET, is the late termination of people who have left the CET, that is commonly seen in centers. They would have left, and then the center managers would delay in submitting the documentation to the department to process the termination. That is one of the reasons. We've identified that, we have now corrected this, we've given CET College personnel as well, so they do their own termination without submitting documents to head office. The second one, as CFO has reported, was that pure fraud, I must say, where officials colluded at head office in making certain payments for the recognition of qualifications when lecturers have improved their qualifications. One official identified that, no, he could make money out of it by paying people who actually did not even, you know, obtain those qualifications. That official resigned within 24 hours last year, but the matter is persuaded now by the court. We have had three of them that are still in the department, three are in HR, one is in finance. So that those are the overpayments that have happened. Then there was an investigation that the DG initiated, and that is how we managed to lay them down and identify those that were implicated. There is some amount where those lecturers who benefited have not yet signed, you know, the agreement to repay the department, but again, the matter is pursued by the court. Most of them are in Northwest, area. They are in Northwest, they are in the Northwest CET College.
Thanks, DG, and good morning, honourable members. I am acting DVG for TVET Colleges. with regard to the placement of the certified students, NCV, versus the natives that the honourable member mentioned, you know, this has the NCV now is on offer for 12 years. The first cohort of NCV students emerged in 2009. So it's probably 10 years now since we have students at graduate level. And things have changed significantly over this time. Initially, the NCV was not seen as suitable for placement in the workplace and even for artisan training. But in the recent years, we've seen significantly improved placements of NCV students. But having said that, it also differs. It differs on the location of the colleges and the programs that they deliver. NCV students seem to do better. There's better opportunities for them in the more urban areas and with the nature of the employment that is available in those areas. So it has improved. With regard to NATED, we are seeing that N1 to N3, particularly in relation to artisan development, is less favored now. It is seen to be inadequate to sufficiently prepare the students for take-up of the artisan programs because the baseline for artisan training now has been seriously elevated because of the requirements in the trades environment. And there's every chance that we will reconsider the offering of the N1 to N3 going forward because it is not seen to be sufficient for students to go into artisan training. So that's insofar as that is concerned. DG, I think you covered the NSFAS, but I think the fears of the members, that students could be excluded because of the more rigorous application of the requirements by NSFAS. We don't need to have that fear. I can assure you that all the students included in these numbers have been deserving students, and if there were more deserving students, there is absolutely no reason for them to have been excluded. What we do see in the public domain, the problems around the NSFAS, particularly with regard to TVET students, are really around the allowances. And the disbursement of the allowances has a lot to do with the processes between NSFAS and the colleges. It is not about students not qualifying. What is a problem, and we are dealing with that right now, is that some colleges have not provided NSFAS with the full set of registrations for students to be covered. So that's a lapse on the side of the college, but I must say thus far, including this week in the Eastern Cape, we are able to work with NSFAS and to treat those as retrospective applications and get the students covered. So I just want to say that where students have been qualifying, especially in respect of tuition, at least we can say, they have not been excluded if they qualify. Thank you,
Chair. Sandy, only the safety.
Sure. Dizzy, can I also just reassure and add on the issue of the students not receiving funding? Because I think we should reassure that it doesn't happen. Because, I mean, the link of a NSFAS award is linked to a place to study. So when a qualifying student is placed and verified. And in actual fact, to also add that NSFAS has over the last year made significant improvements to that verification process. So including the arrangements, the links to the SARS system as well. So I think that, and also to add that there's also been significant improvements in the appeals process, which is working much faster. And indeed, we also have a process in the department to address complaints or appeals. So there's a number of checks and balances in place in terms of students getting funding. Mm-hmm. And then maybe, DG, if I could also add on that to say that we are going forward to link the NSFAS numbers in our APPs to the enrollment plan so that there's a link between the numbers of the enrollment and the NSFAS numbers. In terms of the security issues, I was also asked a question about the universities that are offering the TVET qualification program. By the time of the end of the financial year, there were five. There are actually now seven that have been implemented. Yes, I know. I have them for you, did you? Sorry, I've just been getting these from my colleagues.
You don't have
I do have it here. The problem is there's seven that are accredited now, and then there are 13 that are busy, that are actually working on the programs. I don't have the exact details of which are the accredited ones and which are the ones that are working. But the ones that I know that are accredited is CPUT, NMU, VITS, And then the others are
UWC,
yes, those are four. I don't know the fifth one as of March, but they're actually seven now. And then all the other end of it, all the UOTs, the CPUT, CUT, DUT, TUT, it's UJ also, NMU, Free State, Fort Hare, Pretoria, VITS, WUSU, UKZN, and also VUT has just been accredited. So it's really, it's quite a big achievement there. In terms of the numbers of the PhDs, it's approximately 9,000 academic staff. That is a 46% of the full-time academic staff component, which is around 19,000 that's in the system, and that is based on the HEMIS data for 2017. Those are the permanent academic staff in the system. So you're talking about a number of approximately 9,000. In terms of safety and security, just to try and be very brief, we do have a committee, a ministerial task team at the moment that is looking at the university sector in particular, doing an analysis of all the policies in the system to ensure that there's some baseline standards in terms of what policies are available at institutions. But that's just in terms of the sexual harassment, gender-based violence issues. There was a very recent engagement between the Minister and the Vice-Chancellor through USAF, and we have agreed that we are working quite closely with the universities to identify urgent issues on every single university campus that can be addressed right now. Things that universities are already planning in terms of security, whether it's infrastructure related, whether it's access control related or whatever, and we've started a process to get that information from the universities now so that if possible we can identify unspent funds within the infrastructure that can be allocated to try and deal with those emergencies. But there are also longer term programs in terms of the infrastructure, in terms of working with the security body, that's the campus protection services body that works across the university, where there's some training going on there for campus protection. And then there's also a program that USAF is working on with the security, I think it's called Sierra. Yeah, there's work going on there. So I think that there has been a catalyst with some of the matters that have happened recently, even though there are issues that have happened off campus, some of them on campus. And we are trying to address both the urgent and the longer term issues there. Digi, can I just say one more thing? Just to say, Digi answered the question of how we work with the university. So I'm not going to talk about that. Just in terms of NISFAS, just to also indicate that there is a ministerial review process on NISFAS, which will identify in terms of the longer term relationship between the role of the university, the role of the college, the role of NISFAS. So a lot of those broader longer term questions about where the long term responsibility should lie will be addressed through that review process. It's a really critical set of questions.
Thanks. I think the other thing, NISFAS now is working on the recruitment and selection of senior executives. While the administrator is still there and the team, with a sole view of ensuring that there is transfer of skills and knowledge that they have built over time, so that the exit of the administrator doesn't lead into the collapse or regression in NISFAS. Of course, that would be dependent on whether the appointments that would be made would be appropriate appointments or not, which we believe it would. We will strive into ensuring that it's proper appointments that are made to feel that it has forward. CFO?
Thank you, DG. Honourable Chairperson and colleagues, just the issue around irregular spending, and I think I'm just going to address the issue of SEA management that was raised. I want to emphasize that the problem is not with SEA management. The issue is that in other areas, staff simply utilize the services of a certain provider. And by the time we become aware of it is when we receive an invoice from the provider. So it is a matter where officials would not follow procurement procedure without our knowledge, and by the time we get an invoice, that is the first time that we become aware of the situation. The fortunate situation is that because of the internal control measures that we've implemented, we can identify those cases before the payments are made. We make sure that the service were actually provided and that there's no direct loss to the department even before we go ahead and actually process a payment on that invoice, and therefore we report it as irregular so that we do not find a situation that at the end of the day the AG come and tell us these payments are irregular. It's not the situation. We identify it and we report it, and then we manage it through the normally labour relations disciplinary procedure. So consequence management are taking place. I also want to emphasize that consequence management does not only mean disciplinary action. It also means issues like training or communicating procedure and processes to officials, etc., which we do on a regular basis through our newsflash on our IT system. Thank you, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair.
DG, let me thank you. And as that, you know, we're very happy with the way you are doing things. Of course, there's room for improvement on other things. In the next audit, we need to hear that we have a clean audit. And which will only happen if these matters that are raised by the AG are addressed on time. And that, we have a common angle between you and us, because you play oversight role on other institutions that we're funding, and ours is to play an oversight role on you. So if something that is not well happens in the universities, we will ask you, because you are the ones who give them the money. So we must follow where the money goes, how it is used. And we are there to help you. And of course, you're not doing alone. There are other institutions that will be there to give you support. But as a general, I think that worries all of us in this room, that there is this general perception that there is rampant corruption in the public service. And when they talk about the public service, they are talking about you. Mm-hmm. And when I say you, it's you who are in management. So if something bad in the education happens, the first thing that we think about is, oh, the DG, the CFO, all the TTGs, they've allowed it to happen. So I'm happy that you've got systems in place that are working. You're able to, you know, to pick up things before major damage is done. Keep up the good work, and thank you very much until we meet again in the next meeting.
Thank you, Jim.
Bye, thank you. Bye. Well.